I get this point every time in the year with watches. So as a teacher, I'm then thinking, my watch is 2 minutes out compared with the... So my watch says 28 past, but the watch at the back says half past. So let's go from the watch at the clock at the back and give you a warm welcome this morning. There will be more people coming in as we begin. I'm just going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So it is with sadness, isn't it, that we come together this morning and we reflect that we've lost our dearly loved Queen. And we've hardly even taken it in, have we, as yet. And it's amazing, isn't it, how you think you ought to be ready to hear news like that, because the Queen was so advanced in years, and yet it still comes as a shock to us. And we'll also be remembering others that we've lost as well. So we do need to think about each other and look out for each other at the moment. And I know there are plenty of opportunities to show our appreciation for the Queen's life, but this is our chance to appreciate her together as Kingsgate Church, as the body of Christ here. And we're sad because she's been the longest reigning monarch in this country. And she is in some ways the last vestige of that sense that this is a Christian country. Her faith, her witness, her personal testimony will have kept many others strong over the years. Many of us will have been encouraged by her faith. And you might not be a royalist or a monarchist, but I'm sure all of us are still sad because we've lost her. We're sad about her, aren't we, who she was. So many people in public life are self-centered, they're self-driven, and she's been a shining light for us. Humble, self-deprecating, focused on others, private in a good way, but also personally radiant and funny as well, and balanced. She's shown a lifelong commitment in marriage to her husband, to Philip. She showed an unswerving affection to her children, in spite of their problems, and she showed a remarkable faithfulness to that promise that she made when she was only 21. I declare before you all, my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. It's breathtaking, isn't it? J. John said this: at the end of that long life, we can say with appreciation that she has fulfilled her vows and did what she promised. She kept the faith. We're doubtless called to lesser things, he says, but may we keep our promises as well as she did hers. A lot of you will have seen this quote that she said, possibly in one of her Christmas broadcasts: only a few people acknowledged Jesus when he was born. Now billions follow him. I believe his message of peace on earth, goodwill to all, is never out of date. It can be heeded by everyone. It's needed as much as ever. And back on her first Christmas broadcast, I think that's right, she said this: pray for me that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. As Christians, for those of us here who pray, hasn't it been a joy and a privilege to pray for her over the years? And it will have been the faithful prayers of the saints that have kept her going and upheld her testimony, made her testimony so strong over her reign. And it's still our duty to pray for King Charles III, especially now, as Grace was saying when she came in, he's just lost his mother, and he has to stand there and make speeches and now impress everyone with his readiness to be king. So our prayers will make a real difference, and they're really vital. Chris Cartwright, Elim's General Superintendent, said this: She's being celebrated rightly for her extraordinary reign, but also repeatedly from almost every source, she's recognized as a woman of deep Christian belief who's led from that sure and certain faith. And that's true, isn't it? And I just want to focus on this just for a moment, her unshakable, unashamed, but humble and gentle faith in Jesus. I've recently been learning more about architecture. Over the summer, I get the chance to read books. and I appreciate buildings with a fine design. But I thought yesterday, as I was doing the Little Hampton Park run, that it's hard to appreciate a wonderfully designed building if it's crowded in, if there's no space around it. You can't see it. You can't appreciate it. The spire of Chichester Cathedral, for example, is lovely because you can see it from far away, and that's what gives it its grandeur. So the finest architecture in the world is probably a happy combination of genius and fortunate town planning and architectural planning. Well, perhaps the Queen's faith shone so brightly because of her unique role, if we think of her as a piece of architecture for a moment. No one was like her, and she had a role that no one else had. And so that is why her faith was so remarkable and shone out. Her borrowed radiance came from the King of all Kings. I saw on Facebook this morning the little story. Apparently she said to one of her chaplains after he preached on the second coming, "I'd so love Jesus to come when I'm alive." And the chaplain said, "Well, why?" And she said, "I can lay my crown before him." And I just want to close before we reflect by reading her words from 1957, her first televised Christmas broadcast, talking about changes. We always have to face those, don't we? "Because of these changes, I'm not surprised many people feel lost and unsure what to hold on to, what to discard, how to take advantage of the new life without losing the best of the old. It's not the new inventions which are the difficulty. The trouble is caused, this is the bit, by unthinking people who carelessly throw away ageless ideals as if they were old and outworn machinery, religion thrown aside, morality in personal and public life made meaningless, honesty counted as foolishness, self-interest set up in place of self-restraint." She was talking about 1957, but this next bit can apply just as much to now. "At this critical moment in our history, we will certainly lose the trust and respect of the world if we abandon those principles. We need a special kind of courage that makes us stand up for everything we know is right. A kind of courage that can withstand the subtle corruption of the cynics. It's always been easy to hate and destroy. To build and to cherish is much more difficult." So if you can, let's stand. And we're just going to have a short moment of reflection for the Queen. God of all comfort and hope, on the sad death of our beloved Queen Elizabeth II, we pray for her family in their grief and loss. Surround them with your peace. We give thanks for her service to the world and her steadfast profession of faith in you. We also pray for our new king. Bless his reign and the life of our nation. Strengthen and empower him for his new role as monarch. Bring us back to the paths of righteousness and faith in God, so that truth and justice, the gospel and the kingdom flourish among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.